Scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from the book of Proverbs, the third chapter. We hear verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would now increase our faith through them. Amen. Back in the days of the patriarchs, when Abraham was told by the angel that he and his wife Sarah would have a child, Sarah was 89 years old at the time of that announcement, and she happened to be listening to the conversation inside of the tent, and we're told that she turned inside of the tent and pulled the flap around her and started to laugh. How ridiculous that an 89-year-old woman would give birth to a baby. Go find an 89-year-old woman and ask them about that. They'll quickly understand why she laughed. She heard this statement that was so shocking and so seemingly impossible. She knew enough about how human bodies function, and she knew enough about human biology that this was something that was completely out of the norm. And so, in a sense, it was understandable that she would laugh at this promise from God. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, had kind of a similar response when he was told by the angel that he and his wife would have a child in their old age. And when that angel gave him God's promise, his reasoning power overruled that and started to ask questions of doubt. Even Mary, though we don't think her questions were doubting, but Mary's question was, well, how could this happen that I, being a virgin yet, would even have a child? And she was given the wonderful answer from the angel, from Gabriel, nothing is impossible with God. God has given you your mind. He's given you your brain, your intellect, your reasoning power. Luther says, he's given us my reason and all my senses, and he still preserves them. And even today, you're here in a college using your intellect and your reasoning ability. You're deepening your understanding about your world. And those gifts that God has given you of your mind are fascinating things and to be used by God in wonderful ways. The education that you're receiving as well is to increase and stir up this intellect inside of you so that you can ultimately serve God with your life and other people as well. But your intellect deals with the matters of this world and of this life. When it comes to the matters of the kingdom of God and the promises that God gives to us, here there is a challenge with our intellect and our reason, because God calls upon our intellect, in this case, to bow before his word and to bow before his gracious promises to us. In fact, if you remember the story, Jesus had a little child come and stand in front of his disciples, someone who intellectually probably knew very little compared to them, and yet said, this is really the model of faith, that childlike faith that just listens and absorbs God's word and holds on to it and trusts in it. So we, as Christians, certainly use our intellect in service to our faith as well, and it can be used to help us comprehend the word of God. You're using your intellect right now, if you're kind of awake here. You're using your reasoning capacity and abilities to process what I'm saying and teaching you. When you study for your classes, even your religion classes, you're using your intellect. When you write speeches or have to do other things that pertain to your intellectual abilities, certainly we can use our reasoning powers even in the realm of our faith. But reason, here's the thing, reason, intellect, must never dominate over the Word of God. It must rather always remain subservient. Most of our classes are operated in Hunze Hall, or quite a few of them are in Hunze Hall, named after Professor Rudolf Hunze, probably one of the most brilliant men I've ever known. Professor Hunze was such a sharp scholar that three times, his children were friends of mine, three times Ivy League schools tried to get him to come and teach out there, but he declined, And primarily because he wanted to stay here and use his amazing intellect to serve the Word of God, to serve the kingdom of God, rather than possibly use it in a place that was encouraging people to put their intellect above God and his promises. If you think about the story of Peter being called by Christ out of the boat onto the Sea of Galilee, amazing thing. Peter, as a seasoned fisherman, certainly knew the laws of physics. He understood what was going on, biologically impossible for him to walk upon water. And yet, he initially trusts the word of Christ. He trusts the promise of Christ inviting him to come to him. And based upon that, our Lord Jesus permits him now to come and walk to him on the water. But what happens? A large wave starts to rise up, and his intellectual capacity examines the situation and says, "This is unreasonable. I should not be able to do this." And the Lord allows him to begin to sink and says to him, "O you of little faith." Now, we live in a day and age when there are many advancements based upon the knowledge and intellect of human beings. And that's a wonderful thing. We benefit every day from tremendous advancements that your great-great-grandparents would never have even dreamed of. And yet there's a temptation that can come along with that as well. We can begin to lean on our understanding. We can begin to lean on all of these tremendous things that have happened in the last 50, 60 years and imagine that somehow the answer is to be found in man and to be found in man's ability and intellect. And we can sometimes forget to put our trust in what God has told us and what he has given us. But that gracious God who loves you and has claimed you as his child in the waters of baptism, that God invites you to come and boldly put your trust in all the things that he has promised you, to rely on him and to lean on him. He says, in all your ways, not just some of the ways of your life, in all your ways. Martin Luther used an interesting illustration of a man, and maybe to help us understand this, have you ever seen these videos of people in, I don't know if it's in China or different places, usually in Asia, where they have these amazing steep cliffs and people are walking on these tiny paths. And there's no way I could possibly do this. And it's people that do this every day. But imagine that, if you would. Luther uses the illustration of a man walking on a tiny path on a high cliff. And he's tempted to look down and to look at it through the eyes of his intellect and to be fearful. But he says, the Holy Spirit comes along and takes his coat and wraps it around his head and now grabs him by the hand and safely leads him on that path. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us through the Word of God. The very faith that God has created in your heart to trust in Christ, he now comes and causes our hearts to latch on to the things he has promised us and the things that he has told us, even at times when they might seem unreasonable to our intellect. Francis Schaeffer once said, trust means more than acknowledging that grace exists. That's interesting. When you trust in God, it means more than just acknowledging there is a God. When you trust in Christ, it means more than just acknowledging there was a man named Jesus Christ. It might even mean more than just acknowledging that he rose again from the dead. Will there be people in hell who acknowledged and saw that Jesus had come back to life from the dead? Probably will be. That's a different thing than trust. Trust means to put your hope in it. If you were on a sinking ship and you had studied a lot about lifeboats and you saw a lifeboat that was being used, you could clearly explain intellectually all of the details of that lifeboat, but that's still different than getting in it, than jumping in the boat. When God invites you to trust in him, it means to put your confidence and your hope entirely in him. So, what are the seemingly unreasonable promises that your gracious God has given to you? Is it that he's going to take you through all the trials of life where maybe you and I are tempted to worry? Is it maybe that there's some sin in your life and in your past that you feel is so bad God could never forgive you, when his word clearly says that he does? Is it possibly the resurrection of your own body someday that seems unreasonable to us? And yet God makes such bold, clear promises about that to you? Is it possibly living forever in the mansions of heaven where there's nothing but joy everlasting that just seems out of this world as it is? And yet he invites you to trust in that. No one has ever been let down in the history of humanity who has put their trust and confidence in the promises of a gracious God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will bring it to pass. Amen. Please rise. I invite you to join me in a prayer for today. Turn to page 150 in the front part of your hymn book. Page 150. On page 150, we will use prayer or collect number 27. 27. Please join me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, in your divine wisdom and fatherly goodness, you cause your children to bear the cross and send many afflictions upon us to subdue our sinful flesh and to enliven our hearts to faith, hope, and unceasing prayer. We beseech you to have mercy upon us and graciously deliver us out of our trials and afflictions so that we may perceive your grace and fatherly help and with all the saints forever praise and worship you through your dear Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.
heart from.
May the triune God of your baptism, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless and preserve you. Go in his peace. Amen. Thank you.